Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media and Carl Lundabot. Good morning, 7:05, March the 29th. Phone lines here are 530-605-4567. They're open, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. We are also at the chat room up and running again. So you can have coffee. You can join in. You can chat with us online, but you can also call us, because today we've got just a couple guests, and we're going to do mainly Open Line Tuesday as much as we can today, because we have all types of things to talk about. We have all types of issues that have been kind of been riding on the back burner, and then some that just hopped up to the front burner yesterday. But I'm always joined here by Bad Bob.
And good morning, sir.
Hey, somebody said we should have a Bad Bob blog.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Bad Bob
My
blog.
Life isn't that interesting.
Well, you know, people don't know that, Bad Bob. You can make stories up. We'd never tell them the truth. But speaking of truth, justice in the American way, here she is, Linda Bott.
Oh, good morning. Of course, 7:06 in the morning today. Our weather looks like we're going to have a chance of rain with a high of 62. It is currently 44 degrees. On this 29th, we just have a couple days left. Can you believe that? But, you know, I was going across statistics and of course, history and things that happen on this day. I love that kind of stuff. You guys, I don't know if you realize this, but in 1848, for the first time in recorded history, Niagara Falls stopped flowing. Seems like an ice jam in the Niagara River above the rim of the falls caused the water to stop. Can you imagine that? Okay, I can tell everybody's just kicking up on that
The chat room is already lit up this morning.
Okay.
Well, you know what? The Niagara Falls could be some of our water, because we're back out to almost 50,000 cubic feet per second. And we know how much that is, right, Bad Bob? That's 9.25 swimming pools. If each one of those swimming pools held 40,000 gallons, that's how much is released every second from the dams.
All right. You know, when we were watching also Nights of the Legends.
We're
talking about late night talk show hosts.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was on this day in 1962 that Jack Parr left his highly successful late night TV talk show after 5 years. You know how much he was getting paid?
How much? I'm sorry, I just hit my head. How much?
$250,000 a show.
$250,000 a show? Who got that?
He left behind a salary of 250,000, estimated audience of 8 million people. I don't know, maybe it was per year, but still it was a lot of money.
No, that was per year. I don't think it wasn't a show.
Wasn't like Charlie, what's his name? I can't even say his name.
Charlie Sheen, who, by the way, it looks like Charlie's big, you know, shows and all this are not sold out, as everybody thought. There is no book deal. And they're discounting the tickets, according to what I saw in the papers this morning.
And, of course. The wonderful Rodgers and Hammerstein's musical, or is it Hammerstein? Would you say Hammerstein or Hammerstein?
I'd say potato, potato.
Musical based on Margaret Langdon's novel, Anna and the King of Siam, opened this night in 1951 on Broadway, starring Yul Brynner in the role of King. The King, along with his subjects, valued tradition above all else. And Yul Brynner... The guy was phenomenal. I mean, there's no other king, I'm sorry. Brynner appeared in this part for more than 4,000. I want you to hear that number. He appeared in over 4,000 performances on both stage and screen.
Okay, cool.
The English governess was Gertrude Lawrence. Miss Lawrence and Mr. Brynner acted, danced, and sang their way into our hearts with such memorable tunes as Getting to Know You and Shall We Dance, Hello Young Lovers, Whistle a Happy Tune, The Kiss in a Shadow.
Bob and I do that all the time, don't we, Bob?
Yeah,
Something Wonderful, a puzzlement, and March of the Siamese Children.
March of the Siamese Children. Oh, there's so many places to go.
All right, I'm going back to the chat room.
Take a break now.
Please don't make some sense.
It's Carl Lundabot, Free Fire Radio, and we're starting off, it's a Tuesday, we're starting off happy here because it's going to be a great day. We're going to talk about probably sunshine, we're going to talk warmth, we're going to be talking Obama's speech last night, 7:10 in the morning, March the 29th. This is Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 713, the March the 29th. They're getting down to April here pretty soon. Two more days. We'll be there. Hey, did you know, Bad Bob, that you're probably disabled and you didn't even know about it? That's right. That's right. Millions of Americans may be disabled and not even know it, according to some legal experts. Stand by. Sit down. Get your cup of coffee, because here it's going to start rolling, my friends. New regulations, sweeping new regulations from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission are offering new guidelines on the issue of how to define disability under the Americans with Disability Act. The original one says, originally defined disability as a physical or mental impairment that substantially limits a major life activity. And when a worker satisfied that definition, employers must provide reasonable accommodations. And there was a time when you had, you know, when that, you know, that is, it, you know, providing bathrooms for people in wheelchairs, all these things, curbs, all that stuff to help people with disabilities get to work and back. Now, where you have 40 million people were covered by ADA, this number is going to increase significantly because of the changes. The EEOC Commissioner Chai Feldblum said the agency worked hard to find compromise between the business and disability communities, and she's optimistic the new regulations provide the right balance. These are workable guidelines. Although the new regulations cannot classify any condition as a disability per se, there is a list of maladies that will be viewed in a way in virtually all cases: autism, diabetes, epilepsy, and post-traumatic stress disorder. Lawyers for employers say the regulations also shift the burden of proof in disability claims, that employers will have to show why a worker doesn't require special accommodations rather than the employees proving that the measures are merited. And how are you going to argue that? What they're saying is that how can employers argue that in any case an employee is exaggerating a disability or the person isn't genuinely disabled? This is going to be hitting the courts big time, my friend. But this was my favorite statement by Feldblum, who is the commissioner. I am hopeful that the employers will now move to the next question, which is, how do we make sure our workplace is welcoming to people with a range of health conditions, and stop focusing on defining disability and spend more time on the accommodations? What they're saying is now is, if you're an employer, you're going to have, if an employee says, hey, I'm disabled in this way, you have to prove that they aren't, which, of course, that's going to be difficult. Then you have to start taking care of that. And then all of this, all the legal costs, all this is going to be passed on to us. If most of us are disabled, I'm just a little bit concerned that somebody comes in here and says, you know, post-traumatic stress, you know, I need to have dark room or I have to have quiet time. I have to have a place I can go to myself. I'm not saying that's what will happen. Or that I've had a bad experience at some point in my life, and I need help for this. I need to have somebody around here that I can talk to. Or I've got this, or I've got that. It's, you know, I think the headline said that most of us have got some kind of disability. My left foot hurts. I mean, does it hurt all the time? I don't know. It was from a motorcycle wreck. Does that mean if I need to have like special dispensation because of an injury that happened well before me going to work here? Do I need special dispensation? Bad Bob?
I'm sorry, this just puzzles me. Of course I'm sympathetic to anybody who has an injury or something along those lines, but for crying out loud, this is going out of control. Who the heck is going to do the work?
And who's paying for all this? Well, I'll tell you who's paying for it. It's the American business and American taxpayer that's paying for it. And let me tell you something we just heard yesterday, is that Cisco was getting ready to move to Ireland and taking millions of dollars worth of taxes, millions and millions, and thousands of workers' jobs. And why? 35% income tax tax on business tax.
Well, I don't want to sound cold, and of course, like what Bob said, we're very sympathetic for those people who have disabilities,
right. And we're set up here for people with disabilities.
And there's other things, you know, there are conditions. But I think that, again, a headline like this is another example of how to make the country soft.
Well, I don't know if it's off, now you're
dodgeball. We're going to go back to not playing dodgeball in high school because that ball may hit the other child. Since when do you not have balls or play? You know what I'm talking. Stop it. Double entendre there. But since do you not play? When do you not play dodgeball?
Because
cool.
somebody will. Yeah, I know. Because somebody will be put out
it's
of the game.
The same thought.
Well, you know, in this one, they're saying is that people they're going to label so many people as disabled that didn't know that they fell under those guidelines. They didn't feel like they fell under those guidelines. That maybe these new guidelines are saying that. Well, gosh. This, you know, am I disabled here? If I was in a car wreck when I was 12, I'm having, you know, I have post-traumatic stress from it, you know, blah, 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 on and on and on. You know, this is just another example of the government getting into everything and just trying to make us dependent on the government. Because if you're saying, hey, wait a minute, I have this disability, somewhere along the line, I promise you, somebody's going to pay you money for it.
How many cars can you tack on the gravy train here is my question.
I don't know. You know, this thing is, you know, it's going to be fought in court, so we'll see what happens. But it takes effect, by the way, on May 24th of this year. Carl Lindebot.
Well, that just slid right in there, didn't it?
Yeah, Carl Lindebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:19 in the morning. It is March the 29th. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about intervention, why, and where's it going.
Good morning, it's KCNR. This is Carla Lindebot here. We're going to be 30% chance of rain today with a high of 62. Tonight, it's going to be a low of 50 with a little slight chance of rain as well. Weather's always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. And we're really looking forward to... We've got tickets for sale for the April Show and Shine. This is kind of a pre-show. But you've got to buy tickets because they're going to be having a complete luau. You don't want to miss. This is really... fun event. Tickets are for sale here at KCNR. And we always say the weather's always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. And we'll be announcing a little bit later on the show he'll be there performing this weekend for the Winter Music Series. Okay.
Let's welcome John back. John's back on the chat room.
We're so happy. We always love your interaction.
We missed you there, John. And not only that, but we're also understanding that we have some post-traumatic chat disorder people in the chat room. And if you think you're going to get money out of us because you now have post-traumatic chat disorder, come on down here. We have that for you. Okay.
Now, why is it? I'm still confused a little bit here because we remember that there was a bar in Chico where they fined the owner because there was a camera found in the bathroom. And back in the headlines today, it's I guess he's facing the charges. I guess it took that long to really bring him to face the trial. But they had all kinds of film of women being indisposed and other activities that they caught on tape.
Yeah, they were told about it in December.
You know, and that's just a creepy thing because I think last time we talked about it, we went into mirrors, and then we had all kinds of feedback on how you can tell if it's a
two-way mirror.
Now,
this one was in the smoke detector. Now, how many times have you looked at a smoke detector in the bathroom and you look at it and thought,
yesterday in a public bathroom. Because, you know, girls, we have a tendency to visit them more often than guys do. But I will tell you that, again, I've had one gross experience where I was on my way somewhere, I don't know, it seemed like I was out in... on the way to L.A. or something and pulled over at one of the gas stations. And literally the creepiest thing in the world is to be going to the restroom and then looking over and seeing an eye looking at you through a hole.
That's where you need that.
Creepy!
That's where you hit him with the mace.
How about a stun gun?
Now, this one. About a sharp needle. Okay, what they said is this is the Panama Bar, and they went to the owner. I guess the owner is Robert Stephen Mowry II. Said he installed a camera and a fake smoke detector to catch vandals and to protect patron safety. Okay, they were told about it in December when a bar patron saw a bar employee watching a live video feed taken inside the bathroom and recognized two of the women. And then he voluntarily turned over the video from the bathroom at the unisex bathroom and as well as the men's bathroom. And he had placed the camera so they did not capture the patrons, junk. However, while talking with the police, Mallory played some of the videos from the Panama Bar bathroom that showed several females unknowingly exposing their nude bodies, and also a couple that were engaged in intimate activity. So, you know what? You know, when you hey, there's nothing on here, and then while you play the tape, there's two nude ladies on there thinking they were in a private bathroom. I think that your case kind of goes out to court right there. Anyway, the
the chatters are on fire about the post-traumatic stress, the disabilities, and the fact that, you know, basically I think you probably need to read that one more time so that everybody can hear clearly something that's come out in the regarding more paperwork, more regarding the work that employers are going to have to do because of the disability situation.
Yeah, John was obviously in the paper and said that, was in the hospital and said, I would like to mention, let me try to grab my computer. I'd like to mention my appreciation for the VA healthcare system. I was treated first rate at a private room for 2 days and had the pleasure of sharing a room with a Guadalcanal veteran of 88 years old, totally lucid. Only had a day with him, but great insights. That is another example how the VA can help you a whole lot. The other things are going on here that health executives, I've got a whole two or three pages of stuff we're going to be talking about. Healthcare executives occupy the top tier of California's public workers. That three hospital district executives have emerged as among the highest paid public employees in California, according to a state report, including an official in San Diego County, which made more than $1 million in 2009. Palomar Hospital District Chief Executive Michael Corvett's pay is the highest out of thousands of special district employees, $1 million. He made $1,035,709, and it's in addition to his $587,000 base salary. He received a $350,000 bonus and a $93,000 contribution to his pension fund. That's interesting. How much money we pay on that? What else do you see there?
Well, there were wishers for John. Somebody said that it was, I think, a man's weigh-in that said that they were in a bathroom and the same thing happened to them. And then somebody said, oh, girls are in the bathroom more than men? Question mark. I don't know.
Well,
it
shows
up
again. There can be a dark side to technology, and that's sad, you know. We have all these wonderful gifts that it's given us, but any of those can, of course, be misused. Anything can be misused.
I don't know. Is that a generalization? I think that women that go to the restroom
usually go in groups.
Yeah, if two couples go out.
It's a covey of girls heading for the restroom.
Exactly. Let's go together and we put our makeup
on. Two women
on.
Head to the restroom, nobody blinks an eye. No. Two guys head to the bathroom, it's all over.
Well, you don't. There's rules for them in the bathroom, too. It's like, one is you don't talk to each other. And sure as they don't move, you know, you don't say, oh, I'm good here. You know, those Levi's, they make your butt look good.
Guy.
You don't hear those things in the male's restroom. You might hear them in the female. Okay, we're getting carried away here. We're going to be talking, Mike Wiley, when he comes back, is going to be coming in and talking about a symposium for veterans. And it's going to be held this weekend. And then we're going to be talking about a lot more. This is Open Line Tuesday. We're going to be talking about Obama's speech. We're going to talk about how much more are we getting into Libya, Japan, the plutonium leaks. There's a whole lot of things going on in the world that we all want to talk about. We've just gotten started. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:30, March the 29th.
Welcome to KCNR 1460 on your dial. It's Carla Lindabot here on Free Fire Radio. This portion of the show is brought to you by
BNT Satellite. That's right, BNT Satellite. Doug Tooley puts in Dish Satellite. His phone number is 244-1988. Do not call that 800 number. Call Doug Tooley at 244-1988. His new location is 1345 Liberty Street. That's Doug Tooley, BNT Satellite, puts in the Dish.
We have a special guest in the house, but before we go to our special guest, we have also somebody on the phone today, one of our favorite people, Victoria Curtis from Cars Automotive. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
are you today?
What's on your mind?
I'm doing great. I'm glad the rain finally stopped. What's on my mind, since the rain has stopped and we're going into good weather, is regular maintenance for people's cars. With the weather coming, turning more wonderful and sunny, I think it's really important to take care of the regular maintenance so that we're not faced all of a sudden with new car payments. And I want people to know that Cars, California Auto Repair and Smog is a full-service shop. We do everything from oil changes, brakes, transmission, brake flushes, radiator flushes. It's important to change your timing belt when your manufacturer recommends. Just regular maintenance to keep your car running tip-top, that you don't have big problems down the road.
That, and you get picked up and delivered.
That's right.
You are the pickup and deliverer.
You or your car. Yes, I am the concierge with cars. We'll come and get your car, bring it in, service it, and put it back in your parking lot.
Well, it is. It's time to start thinking about that, since the rains, we hope, are over for most part.
And I guess it's the time we really found out how many people hydroplaned because, you know, they maybe had leaks and didn't realize it, as well as bad wipers. Well, great. California Auto Repair and Smog, we really appreciate your call. Victoria, thanks so much for always giving us a little additional a thought for our maintenance in our cars.
Thank you so much. Talk with you soon.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Hey, well, it always helps to have a little something there. You know, now's the time. It's, you know, it's the sun's shining. It's time to get into maintaining your, not only your automobile, but your motorcycle.
And your body.
And your body. That's right.
And your house. It's just take care of it all, because we have kind of wanted to, you know, I think, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, when the weather's like this, I just kind of want to be under blankets.
Well, it's better weather now. Hey, our guest in the studio for this segment is Mike Wiley. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, Mike.
And Mike is talking to us about, has been in here several times before, and he's talking to us about the new North State Veterans Collaborative, which is going to hold its second meeting.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, tell us about tell us what the collaborative is about.
Well, and again, thanks for inviting us in to talk about this. I come this morning as a representative of Shasta County Citizens for Democracy, and we have partnered with California Department of Veterans Affairs to provide a, the word is kind of weird, but a collaborative, or a symposium would work just as well, as you were talking about earlier, Carl. It's an opportunity for those folks that are interested in supporting veterans and their families to learn about the kinds of services that are available, and not just what's through the VA. When we had our first meeting in February, we had a guest from Social Security to come in and talk about Social Security benefits for veterans and disabled veterans and those families. And this time, we're going to have a meeting Saturday morning at 10 o'clock at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street, and we have two guest speakers this week. This month. One of the guest speakers is going to come from the Public Utilities Commission and talk about, and this is for you and I, Carl, telecommunications devices for the memory impaired or for the hearing impaired. Those of us that have gray hair and are veterans, often we bring complications to just talking with our friends and families. The lady from Public Utilities Commission will come and talk to us about those services and how to access them.
That's Michelle Radcliffe.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay.
She's a really bright lady who has wonderful information for those of us. The other guest will be a fellow from a local ranch that provides therapeutic experiences for people that have been traumatized. Jim Busher from the A. Mallory Ranch will come and talk to us about the type of work that he does in providing a therapeutic setting with horses. And it's not about riding horses, but it's about working with them and learning about yourself and how you interact with horses. So our Veterans Collaborative is a place where people that are interested in services for veterans can go and ask questions and get information. And that's one of the things that we find is really important. Most of us that work with veterans know that there are issues. We don't always know where to go to get those answers and those situations resolved. So this is a place for networking. It's a time for networking, and that's what we're providing. And it's this feminist idea Linda, that we can work together. It's not just somebody being in charge like CDVA. That's what I'm really supportive of working with California, with CDVA and Shasta County Citizens for Democracy. It's unusual for these kinds of organizations to get together, and it's really nice to see them, that we're working solely in support of veterans and their families. That's our whole goal, is providing better services for veterans and their families.
Well, I think it's really intelligent to think about the common good, and that's what you guys are doing.
We're trying.
Yeah, it's a this meeting then is going to be on April 2nd. And it's going to be at the Veterans Memorial Hall at 1620 Yuba Street.
That's correct.
It's going to start at 10 a.m.
Yes.
And doesn't cost anything to go there.
No. And we provide coffee and eats as well.
Okay. And give Mike a call at 472-1279 for more information. I think this is really important, my friends. If you got some questions, especially those that are having maybe a few difficulties in hearing, as well as you used to, the Michelle Radcliffe from the California Public Utilities Commission is going to talk about, there are programs out there to help people, or to help your parents, to help other people that are having problems with a disability and hearing impaired,
memory impaired. And that's important. You know, we have a lot of people that as we age and as we take medications and our health is compromised by the aging process, we're not always able to remember things. So Michelle's going to talk to us about those types of equipment that will help for us to stay as independent as long as we can. And that's all of our goal is that we want to be independent.
That's right. Mike, thank you so much for what you do. And again, it's 10 a.m. this Saturday at the Veterans Memorial Hall on Yuba Street, and it's free.
That's right.
To go there and give Mike a call at 472-1279.
We invite not only veterans and their families, but professionals. I'm talking with the nursing homes and those kinds of folks. And when we go to a place where there's assisted living, and again, this is a type of thing that you and I are looking at as we're aging, is where we're going to go and how we're going to live, and do those people there know about veterans affairs and how to deal with veterans? And that's what we want to do, is to heighten their awareness and their sensitivity to us, we veterans that are disabled, and our needs.
Okay. Thanks so much, Mike.
You're welcome.
Thank you so
Thanks
much
for what you do.
Yeah, for being such an advocate for the veterans.
All right. We're going to take a quick break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome to Free Fire Media. I'm not sure what's going on there. Turn that one down. Yeah, okay. Hey, this is Carl and the Bot, 7:46 in the morning, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjack. Lumberjack's at 501 East Cypress. This is the time to go have breakfast. And they have breakfast specials Monday through Friday only. $3.99 for ham and eggs. I tell you what, Lumberjack, it is a locally owned business. They serve great food, great service from the people. It's a happy place to go to. That's Lumberjack's. Go down there and get your breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They're serving great food. Okay. We've got a few minutes. I think we got what? We got another break here, Bob, in the next few minutes?
Yeah, we have one.
Okay, we ran a little bit late on that last one talking about what was going on with the veterans. But we've got all the next hour to be playing here, too. But it looks like Japan's found plutonium in the soil at the nuclear plant. Looks like they found new leaks in the soil, or from the reactors, that's going out into the soil. And this is going to have, it seems to be having a an effect on what's on the environment with them right now. And I can't imagine it's just leaking and now it's starting to spread. You know, yesterday we heard that they were getting this under control, that it looks like they were going to have some good news, but this doesn't look like it's really good news right now. In the meantime, they're still evacuating people from around the area. They're telling people to stay inside. They're talking about how they can handle this as they go on. It just has not stopped. The drama at the 6-reactor facility has already started. You know, it's caused 70,000 people to be displaced, and now they're thinking about widening the exclusion zone. Anyway. So this is such a disaster for Japan, besides just the tsunami. You know, I mean, we're talking thousands of people dead. They're not even able to bury them, in accordance with their religion. because of the so many dead and having to bury them right away. No tax deal yet in Sacramento. What's going on there? You know, again, we start talking about people working together. We're talking about trying to get this travesty of an economy and a budget put together, and there's no tax deal yet in Sacramento. Republicans are not coming in and saying that they're going to support it. They want budget reforms. And some of the budget reforms is limit the vehicle licensing fee to 18 months vice 5 years. You know, there's something about that that if you're going to extend the vehicle licensing fee, which is a tax, you know, we did it before for 2 years, and what did that do? We got worse in debt. But if they do it, they said they want it for 5 years. And now the Republicans are saying, no, just for 18 months. Well, if it's going to be extended, I think it'd be better for 18 months than 5 years, but I bet that's not over yet. How about reducing public pensions? That's another budget reform that the Republicans want, and set a spending cap. Now, the way it is right now, we're talking about millions and millions of dollars in cuts. We're talking about veterans programs, which have already been on the chopping block. We're talking elderly programs. We're talking mental health programs. We're talking about sending felons back to us without giving us the money to take care of it. All of these things, because we have gotten ourselves in such trouble over the last 8, 10, 12, 15 years, but it's just manifesting itself now so much. And yet they're still not putting things together down there. You know, Brown is still not putting things together with either party. Both parties are fighting him. We've got to take a break here, Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio. It's 7:50 in the morning. It's March 29th, and this is Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:53 on March the 29th. Let's talk a little bit about what's going on. You know, yesterday also, we talked about on my blog yesterday, I talked about how they want to change TRICARE. TRICARE is going to be changed. TRICARE is the military retirement system. If you've been medically retired from the military, or you just retired, you go on to something called TRICARE. I'm sure that TRICARE stands for something. There's different kinds of it. There's TRICARE Prime, there's TRICARE for Life, and it's all these. The bottom line on it, though, is that in 16 years, the fees have not changed. 16 years. The fees have not changed for TRICARE. And that in itself has been a big story, but Congress has refused to change it. They've refused to up the fees, increase the fees for TRICARE. Well, now it's up on the Hill, and they're starting to have meetings. They were having meetings last week. I put it in a blog yesterday on the Record Searchlight under Reading.com. But what they're saying is that the most of the organizations of the associations of the military associations are not against a raise in the fees, a moderate raise in the fees. And to be raised yearly. But the big battle about it is this, that the administration, the Obama administration, wants to raise the fees, has said that they want to raise the fees every year based on the medical inflation cost. Medical inflation cost. And this is where all the military associations have stood up, and the fight is on, and I believe it's going to continue until the Congress is, no, you don't base it on medical inflation costs, which is like 6.8% a year. You base it on the retirees' cost of living index. Now, let's talk about that. Record Searchlight today had an editorial that's great when it said that, and I think you can tell when Bruce was back in town, Bruce Ross was back in town, he talks about it, he says, hey, you know, the government is saying there is no inflation. Well, you know, talk to retirees about this. Talk to people that are going out and buying gas at $4 a gallon, and that the cost of food's gone up 61%. in many cases. So where is this rate of inflation? It's not happening. Well, I tell you what, President Obama, maybe not up where you're at. Maybe not the people you have appointed. And by the way, we've got a new czar for military health care. It's supposed to be there to reform the military health care system. We're only paying him $200,000 a year, and he used to be the governor of Maine. He's a Democrat. He's loyal to the Obama administration. But here's the thing is, why are we even paying this guy? Why do we need another czar? Just the word czar makes me mad. Anyway, the retiree, going back to the Social Security and the military retiree, did not get a cost of living increase for the last 2 years. They're not getting one this year. Because there is no inflation, according to the government, yet I see $4 gas. It was last year, and they can even say it was last year was 80 cents a gallon cheaper, and it hasn't been this expensive since September of 2008. So let's talk about this. Talk about the cost of food going up. Talk about the cost of vegetables. And it is going up. So they said, the military association said, you want to increase the cost of military retirees' health care, their fees they're paying, that's fine. Just tie it to your cost of living index. And if we don't get one because, hey, the cost of living hasn't gone up, then you can't put a an increase on the fees. What's wrong with that? That, to me, makes sense. No increase in the cost of living, no increase in TRICARE fees. Now, should the TRICARE fees go up? There's, like I said, almost all the military associations said, yeah, you know, it's been 16 years. We need to start, you know, paying a little more. And I think they're going to bring it up 15% or whatever it is. I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that at all. I'm just saying is that before you start tying it into a 6.5% increase because of medical inflationary cost each year, you don't do that. Not unless you're tying a cost of living index to the same thing so that at least you're not having money taken out of your pocket so that people are not getting, that relying on their military pension. You know, that will then at least make up for part of it. And people don't have to make that decision of what they can have and what they can't have, if they can have medical or if they can have food, as it is going right now. And even then, the cost of living, you know, increase is eaten up by your gas. It's eaten up in the increased cost in Medicare, too. So this whole thing is being eaten up by just the increased cost from government programs. Government programs. All right. When we come back,
when we come back, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to completely change subject and ask you about your endurance racing years and talk about one that's coming up in Whiskeytown. How's that?
Endurance racing.
Endurance racing.
I mean, on
there's one coming up on April 9th in Whiskeytown. We're going to talk about that. We're going to ask you. Give us a little insight of what it is when you do an endurance race.
Oh, the horseback thing.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Horseback
racing. So we'll be right back. That's right. And we also have tickets to give away in the 8 o'clock hour for the Red Bluff Roundup and also for tickets for the Riverfront Playhouse.
We got lots of tickets to give away this time. And it's only Tuesday. We've got more to give away all week. Okay, join us after the news. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio.
You're listening to KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Guests and of the staff, management, or advertisers reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. 8:05, March the 29th. And it looks like it's going to be semi-sunny today, doesn't it? 43 degrees right now.
Guess what we have? I've been holding in my hand talking about the Red Bluff Roundup, and I've got tickets. I want to give away tickets. First caller, 605-4567. We're going to give two tickets away, or actually, if you call right now, we're going to give four tickets away, and that's for Friday, April 15th, to the Red Bluff Roundup. These are $12 tickets, and you can take some friends or your family. For the first caller, 605-4567. That's the Red Bluff Roundup. Give us a call.
If you like rodeos, there's your chance there. And when's the date again? April 15th?
April 15th. No,
tax day.
Forget about the taxes.
So you can forget about taxes. You paid your taxes, so you can already got your refund, so you can go back. You got free tickets, and you get to go to the Red Bluff Roundup, 605-4567.
Okay, LaCrosse, so it's currently 43 degrees. If you're just tuning in, we're going to have a 30% chance of rain with a high of 62 today. And tonight we're going to go down to about 50 degrees with a 20% chance of rain. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, high of 79. We love that. Something very much to look forward to. And mostly clear tomorrow night. Thursday, again, high 82. We're looking towards a fabulous week. We've talked before the break that we were going to be talking about endurance ride that's coming to Whiskeytown. It's the Chaser Endurance, scheduled to return on April 9th. With the new event organizers and courses. The long-distance equestrian event has evolved to a great deal over the past two decades. It's earned a reputation as a great early season training ride for the prestigious Tevis Cup 100-mile ride over the Sierra Nevada. Now, these are going to be 25 and 50-mile rides, and, of course, this is including 11 miles of trail in the Bureau of Land Management Swayze Recreation Area, which lies adjacent to Whiskeytown. And I wanted to have you share with our listeners, Carl, about when you did endurance races. When was that? What did you do?
Well, that was back in the early 90s, and we would ride. We would do endurance rides for 50 miles. Sometimes there were 25ers, but usually 50. The horses have to be a certain age before they can be entered. They can't be young horses. They've got to be at least 5 years old. So that they don't break down on the trail. And frankly, they take really good care of the horses. They have vet checks, and they have all types of checks along the trail. They could care less about the riders, which have people out there that have had cardiac infarctions, and whatever they call them. And that's just too bad they didn't have anybody out there to treat that. They could help the horse, though, if it was dehydrated. If you've never seen one before, if you get a chance just to watch it, the horses aren't at a mad gallop for the whole time, but they're at a trot for the most part, and they go up and down in the terrain. And I've raced from in the mountains, like we have around here, to the Death Valley, and you ride across Death Valley. But it was at January on New Year's Eve. You have a 3-day race down there, 50 miles each day for a total of 150, and it's just flat and it's fast, and the horses are going, and then you move up into the mountains there. So it's a good test of not just the horse, but the rider and the horse's ability to be a team. And again, it's the horse that everybody's concerned about. And you come into a checkpoint, they put a stethoscope on the horse, they're testing it for dehydration. That horse's pulse rate has to be a certain amount, it has to be at a certain rate. And if it's not, they hold you there till the horse has got that rate. Now, halfway through the race, you'll get a 30-minute or 40-minute break that everybody has to take. You come in, you stop. If you've got a crew, they'll make sure the horse is taken care of and walked and kept loose. You, on the other hand, can just lay on the ground,
yeah,
you know, and eat a bologna sandwich. And then 30 minutes later, you get up. The horse is checked one more time by people that are there, and it's respiration, a pulse. They walk it around to make sure it's not limping, and off you go again. It's a great sport if you're into horseback riding, because you spend a lot of time training your horse and you're getting yourself trained. So there.
Yep. Brendan and I had a chance to see this a couple of years ago. We worked a safety checkpoint, not the vet checkpoint, but just a turn in the trail to make sure they went in the right direction. And, yeah, there was one gentleman who came in. He looked like death warmed over, and he's like, never mind me. Check the horse. Make sure the horse. And this guy, we actually called a medical on him because he was barely hanging on the saddle, which made him angry. But they thanked us at the next checkpoint because he wasn't doing too well.
Oh, we've come back. I've got scars, and you can't believe from these rides and the watching people on horses. And people come from all over the world. In Death Valley, they were coming in from different countries for that run. So,
well,
anyway, but we got to take a break here before we get started on our next group. Our next thing. So let's take a quick break. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Here's the
KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. And yes, our computer is giving us just a little bit of problem for our playbacks, for our bump music. Bob is right now with his mirror checking the back of it, trying to see what it does. And then we can also check the back of Bob. Carl and DeBott, Free Fire Radio, 8:13 in the morning, and that is a scary thought right there. It is the 29th of March, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. You want to go down and get a good, great cup of coffee. You want to buy some really good gourmet coffee beans. Go down to Tobacco and Brew to Espresso Joe's in that area. The girls there will fix you right up with a great cup of coffee or a latte or anything you could possibly want. And they've got the funnest walk-in humidor in the state. Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley support veterans. They support our community. They are our friends. And you, if you have not been there, I mean, they've been in business for over 35 years. You need to kind of go down there and take a look at what's going on.
Hey, before we took a break, we were talking about the Whiskey Town Chaser Endurance Ride. And I wanted to give you a location and a site map. Go to A News Cafe, and you'll see that there's an event. I'll go down and you'll read the story was written by, pull his name up right now, but you're going to see the Endurance 100% Proof, it's called, and it's going to tell you where the, it's 8 miles west of Reading. It's going to give you who to call, Jennifer Powell. 604-4704. There's an entry form and all the loops and the trails and pictures. So very informative. Very exciting time, I'm sure. Again, we were taking calls for the April 15th Red Bluff Roundup for tickets for that. And, Carl, you got something else there on your list.
Well, let's talk about the speech last night. President Obama says that forces will not get bogged down in Libya. And, in fact, I believe he said, to be blunt, we went down that road in Iraq, President Obama said, adding that the regime change there took 8 years, thousands of American Iraqi lives, and nearly $1 trillion. This is not something we can afford to repeat in Libya. He also said that the United States so strongly supports the universal rights of the Libyan people. That includes the rights of peaceful assembly, free speech, and the ability of the Libyan people to determine their own destiny. These are human rights. They are not negotiable. They must be respected in every country, and they cannot be denied through violence or suppression. My question then goes into other parts then. I mean, that, if you had your eyes closed, could be the ones that were spoken about Iraq. He did say that he was not going to go into this. He explained that, President Obama, that he does not, why we went in. He explained that pretty well. But what he doesn't explain is why we haven't done that in several other cases. And I'm just thinking of one like Darfur, for one, and there's others where people are being killed and regimes are taking the rights and the human rights of people, yet we haven't even said anything like that. In Iran, where the students stood up, and they tried to rebel, and they were put down harshly. And there were people there being killed. We didn't say anything. We didn't do anything there. He didn't explain how long we're going to be there if Gaddafi doesn't quit. What if he doesn't quit? Today and this morning, checking the news before we came in, it looks like the Gaddafi forces are pushing the rebels back again with the use of rockets, artillery, and tanks. What happens if Gaddafi doesn't give up? How long are we going to be there? How deeply are we committed? And when is NATO taking over? He announced yesterday that NATO was taking over. NATO, who had previously announced this, have said, well, wait a minute, not so fast. So there's something going on there. What exactly is the agreement we have with the United Nations about how much we are involved there? And are we there to protect civilians? Everybody keeps bringing this up. You know, even you see it on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow and whoever, you know, I think she's on TV still, that we're there to protect civilians from these massacres that are occurring. Well, how are we doing it? How are we protecting the civilians? I haven't seen figures for collateral damage that we may have caused. I hope we haven't, but I just, being around war for a long time and seeing 160 Tomahawks being launched, plus all the airstrikes on the ground, that I haven't seen anything about, is there been collateral damage? Are we actually also killing civilians? Unfortunately, that happens in war, which has never been declared that this is a war. It's an action to save people. Are we so used to the term, perhaps, collateral damage, that it doesn't mean anything anymore? I haven't even seen it in the mainstream media. Maybe there hasn't been. I haven't seen anything that said officially, oh yeah, this is happening. This family was killed in a building 150 yards away from a communication site. Another question is, what if the rebels lose? What if they lose and Gaddafi stays there? President Obama said, we're not there to kill Gaddafi. We'd like to see regime change, but we're not going to do that. You know, remove him by force. We're not going to put boots on the ground, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what happens if he wins? I don't understand that at everything we've done is if Gaddafi continues to hold on, what happens then? If we're not going to go after him and we can't get him from the air, and trust me, you know, when Reagan was going after him, he moves every night, sometimes twice a night, just like bin Laden. They move a lot. They go from place to place. Trying to find him is very, very difficult. The only way you're going to do it is to get somebody from within that's going to, you know, give him up. So what happens if he stays? And then the other part is, they talked about the help we're going to give the rebel forces. And they said that what exactly do we mean by the help there? What exactly, who exactly are the rebel forces? And what happened if the rebel forces then, if they start gaining territory, that they then carry out reprisals against Gaddafi's forces? In other words, they start killing the military and the political officials off because they've been so bad. What do we do then? Do we just say, just kind of wash our hands of that and go, well, you know, that happens. But even then, who are the rebels? Are we? And the question is, are we arming them? Are we giving them weapons? And if we are, who are they? And will we see these weapons at another time, maybe in a different place? We have to take a break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. There's a lot of questions about Libya that, yes, I understand why we went in, but I don't understand what the plan is, how we're going to get out, how deep we are in there. Do you understand this? Give us a call, 605-4567. The time's 8:20. It's March 29th, and this is Free Fire Radio. Welcome, working furiously to affix this one little wire that's in the back of the machine here.
And the commercial that you just heard of mentioned, the Sun, we will be giving tickets away for our KCNR night, April 15th. That's going to be a fun show. In fact, last week on Datebook, they did the cover of Datebook, with Bob Kurlock and the cast of Avenge in the Sun. Now, for the past 18 years, it seems folk musician Raymond Oregon has been playing his accordion in one of Mexico's favorite destinations for international tourists, the beach resort of Acapulco. This 56-year-old knows the seasons and the tourists. He's seen good times and bad. And this is definitely a low point for his beloved coastal city. Foreign tourists don't come here anymore because of the violence, as many of you know. We've recently had many incidences here in Acapulco, Oregon said, after finishing a song with this four-member folk group. Violent deaths logged by the Acapulco morgue topped 1,000 last year, mostly related to drug trafficking. So after Hollywood stars like John Wayne and Johnny Weissmuller, they made it their favorite getaway in the 50s. Acapulco became popular with Americans, especially spring breakers in the months of March and April. But this season is different. Restaurants and bars are empty, and very few foreigners can be seen on the beach. What we go into further is that last year, one of the resort owners had said they had over 2,600 kids, and this year it's going to be probably a maximum or 50 or just about 50 or 60 of them.
Well, you know, all you're hearing about is violence in Mexico. Yet we've just talked to some friends that were driving around in the Yucatan Peninsula, which is different, of course, as you go further north and you get into other places with the violence. But there's also something we're going to be talking about this week about an arms deal with the Department of Tobacco, Alcohol, and Firearms, or whatever they're calling it nowadays, how they let weapons go across the border. And they did it as in a sting operation, and then they've lost count of 1,700 weapons, two of which have been used to kill government, the Border Patrol, and the ICE agent. And this is kind of like you haven't been hearing a lot about this. It's just kind of been breaking lately. So we're going to be talking about that later on this week. But the part about Acapulco in this is that people are, you know, they're starting to think that, you know, even though that tourists are not being targeted specifically, that in some cases, though, that I believe that the people are just afraid.
I'm sure that of the people who are make their living off the tourists are just freaking out. You know, it seems that the hotels and tourism operators and the related business, they've come together, they've joined forces for a campaign to talk up the city. So all over in Acapulco, especially in tourist areas, there's signs that say, Habla Blen de Arca, which means speak well of Arca short of Acapulco. The signs have been posted in major thoroughfares, in shopping malls, restaurants, nightclubs, and attractions like speak well of Acapulco. But reading a little bit further down in this specific article, it says it's hard to speak well of a city when the violence is speaking loudly. 15 headless bodies were found in January outside a mall, not far from the tourist area. There were 1,010 violent deaths in Acapulco in 2010, up from 843 in 2009. So there's been increasing violence and deaths. I don't know. I would think, okay, my kid, spring break.
I can think of other places.
No.
Yeah, I can think of other places for them to go. And, you know, and it's a, you know, it's kind of a spiraling downward, movement, because they need the money from the tourists to help keep up the place. And then now the tourists aren't coming, and the drugs, you know, the drug fighting, and this is all it's about, is control of the drug trafficking there, is happening. And so people get scared and they stay away. Even if, you know, in the case of, you know, the chance of something happening to them, it would be rare. You know, but it's possible, because you can't tell. And there's everything you're reading about is the violence along the border and down in these places. Why would you want to go down there when you could, you know, go someplace
else?
Well,
I think that's many. Of course, that's what we're talking about, how many people are feeling that. It started off with the guy who's the accordion player. He takes his daughters down there and makes $4 a song for singing on the beach. You know,
right.
You want a specific song. He said now, rather than having be working all day long along the beach, to get someone to pay is out of the ordinary. So he's really feeling it, and that was his job. So when we have this kind of violence, it's so widespread, it's especially when it's a destination. Now, we have some friends that just came back from not Cabo, but Manzanillo, and they said it was absolutely gorgeous. They felt no violence. And the thing is that you may go to Acapulco and not see any of that, but it's all about, when you're outside of the tourist area, you have to still go in your car to the airport to and from. So there's always a chance you're going to get caught in the crossfire. I don't know. I guess I'm just, you know, I'm looking at the staggering statistics on what's happening with the violence over there, Carl, and I'm thinking...
here's what I think is, and I'm not against, you know, people going, oh, my God, I'm going down there. It's this. It's why go someplace where there's a chance? I mean, you know, it's like, you know, going into the middle of Jerusalem when they're having rockets going off. You know, your chances of that happening, if they've had, a bus bombing there not too long ago, last week, I believe. Chance of that happening to you are rare. But then again, you're putting yourself in that spot. And same thing if you go down to Mexico and some of these places, you're putting yourself in that spot where you can actually maybe get hurt. So I understand what's going on, and it's too bad, and I'm sorry that it's happening. But then again, I wouldn't want my kids, my 18-year-olds, or first of all, my 18 or 19-year-olds probably wouldn't go down to any of these places, because I have strong feelings about that. 18 and 19-year-olds going down someplace where they can drink and party all day long and all night without any type of supervision at all, or even them doing that. So anyway, we've got to take a break. We've got the news. We come back. We've got two or three other things we want to talk about. Carl and the Bot. This is Free Fire Radio. Free Fire Radio. Bad Bob with his butt up in the air. Finally fixed the board that he should, you know, that it took him a couple minutes.
I've been
minutes.
Running back getting my
Welcome
compact
back.
Mirror so
that's
we
right.
can look behind the board. This is the reality of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Wired
oh,
computer.
8:35 in the morning, March the 29th. Carl and Linda Bot.
We're going to be high today of 62 degrees with 30% chance of rain, and it's currently 45 degrees tonight, 20% chance of rain with a low of 50. We're going to have a sunny week ahead of us with tomorrow being 79.
That's great. You
Walk
know,
on the
hey,
wild
this,
side.
And this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, D.C. Tim and the Man in Black. That's right. They give haircuts. They give great haircuts. They give it at great prices, and if you're a veteran, you get a discount. It's man's last stronghold. No snipping with strange scissors there. They give haircuts. That's Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue. Okay, hey, you know what? You know, we talk about be careful what you ask for. Mount Shasta Ski Park has broken the record for March with snowfall. A 108-year-old snowfall record for March with 97.9 inches. The old mark of 88 inches was set in 1903. 289 inches of snow have fallen on the city. And an additional, like I said, an additional 6 feet of powder hit up there in the ski park itself. You know, that is on Monday, the streets of Mount Shasta, depending on the location, had 3 to 4 feet of snow on the ground. Is that great?
That's fabulous. Now, I want to make an announcement for the Veteran Public Arts Project. This was begun to provide patriotic artwork for the new Veteran Service Office located at 1855 Shasta Street in Reading. The organization consists of a steering committee that includes representation from interested parties who recognize that many veterans' facilities throughout the North State proudly display some type of patriotic artwork that is meaningful to those who see it. It's the intention of the committee to raise funds for the solicitation of North State artists, and the committee is going to make a final selection to oversee payment of funds raised through donations, grants, and a fundraising event to be held May 14th, and that's going to be at the Anderson Veterans Hall. I believe they're still taking submissions. Custom meaningful artwork greeting the veterans who enter this office for important services will set a welcoming tone for those who face reintegration into civilian life, and we know how important that is.
That's right. And speaking of veterans, on April the 2nd, this weekend, you've got the 2011 Boondocker Ball, a 1940s U.S.-style dinner and dance fundraiser, costume and dance contest, our kind of dance. It's going to be a great time. It's going to help the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and actually, everything there is tax deductible. You can get your tickets at Jones Fort, Tobacco and Brew, or give them a call at 530-378-2280. Now,
I have a clarification on the, I just received that three pieces have been selected. There's a bicycle rack with a patriotic theme, and a monument type sculpture, which will be unveiled, and a mosaic tile wall covering. The fundraising, which they've all been grants, and there'll be private donations as well that are going to make this, all come to fruition. You can give a call to 225-5616. That's 225-5616 to find out more information.
Okay, that's somebody was a question that came through on the chat room here. Is do I think we should be in Libya? My doubts about it. I have a few doubts. You know, I see what the president said. You know, here's Gaddafi. He's a terrible guy. He's a thug. He's a murderer. He's killing his own people. You know, that unfortunately describes many of the dictators in the world right now. Okay, so the people were standing up. They want freedom and all that. Well, it's happening in Syria right now too. I don't see us saying anything about Syria. I don't see them. You know, I see other places where there's dictatorships like this and that. What about Bahrain and that shootings there? I didn't see us stepping in there, the UN stepping in there. So it's got to be a fight we think we can win. I think that was one of the criteria. It's got to be something that the UN was involved with, and the UN is involved, and including even some of the Arab states. It's a type of thing though that what is our buy-in in it, Dennis? What is our what's our end result? What's our exit strategy here? We're supposed to turn it over to NATO, and we keep pulling back. Okay, NATO keeps dragging its feet, so that means we just keep running, we're running the show, which is, I'd rather have us run the show with our people in harm's way than not. But, you know, this is a UN-sanctioned thing. You know, why we chose now instead of years ago, again, those are questions that we all need to ask. The other question is why did he go do that? Why did he do this without going to Congress first? I mean, this was a screaming thing from before, including Dennis Kucinich, which is from the Democratic Party, said this is an impeachable offense about going in there. You get to fringes on both sides. My question is that why didn't he go to Congress? You know, why did he just say, okay, hey, we're going to go down this road? And he's using some of the same words, some of the same statements, and the same reasons we went to Iraq.
Where's the outrage? Where's Code Pink? Where's all those folks?
I don't know. Yeah, you know, that's a good point, is where the, you know, where are the people with the signs that coming into the hearings and screaming, you know, Obama's war, Obama this, Obama that. I mean, we have two other wars going on. Here's my main concern. We have two other wars going on, and don't kid yourself, you don't think Iraq is still not hot in certain areas. Afghanistan, of course, is hot. You know, I've just, we've lost, and we lost two or three more of our warriors over there in the last couple of weeks. So the question is how much longer can we afford to stretch this out? How many more wars are we getting into? How much more of our military are we going to commit to these? I don't understand what the final commitment is. I don't understand how deep we are in now, and what happens if Gaddafi doesn't leave. Those are my main concerns. Yes, I know, you know, in the comment is, I bet Obama wishes he had a crystal ball. Yeah, don't we all? You know, and at some point we're going to look back and go, okay, this was either a good idea or a bad idea. Just taking out somebody that kills thousands and thousands of his own people, is that a good idea? Is that, you know, overthrow his government? Well, yeah, you know, it is, and bring democracy to the country. But that's not Obama's policy, I don't believe. That was Bush's policy. So this is going to keep continuing, and this is going to be interesting to watch on a daily basis. Again, the cost of it. The cost of it every day, adding up the cost on our military. And at the same time, we're in the process of cutting the military budget and cutting back on forces. Yes, forces and equipment. So it's going to be interesting. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, this is Free Fire Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. It is 8:45 in the morning on March the 29th. It is 45 degrees out there, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Lumberjacks. If you're 55 or older, you can get that senior's discount. You get two meals for $12, anything from grilled tilapia to roasted turkey dinner to pot roast dinner. That's right. That's at Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress, a local company doing great work, great food, friendly service. That's Lumberjacks, 501 East Cypress. Like, you know, latest we're seeing here, you know, coming out of the chat room, of course, is they're talking about who should be president and who should be the vice president. Open line, my friends, open line. We're talking about different types of people that are running.
And
you know, why is Trump?
He's
Trump
so much in the headlines these days. And
why? Why do you think that is? I mean, Donald Trump for president. Why is he? Why is he somebody that is garnering all so much attention? I mean, is this somebody you want to be? What are his qualities that make him presidential timber? But then again, you know, at least he's run a company. He's had the experience in working and running businesses and firing people and hiring people, and you know that. And the last person we hired is the President of the United States, had never run a company and had not done a lot of things. And we are kind of reeling from spot to spot here as we move along. But, you know, Trump, I didn't see anything, you know, spectacular about Trump. In fact, the Republicans and the Republican Party there, I'm not exactly sure who they're going to be rolling out to face Obama. I mean, Obama is weak. I mean, and this is just in my opinion. He has done some things that are, could be construed as statesmanlike, but he's done other things that makes you wonder where he gets his advice from. And I'm just not talking about, and I'm not, it's over a variety of issues. But unless the Republicans come up with somebody that's a barn burner, then President Obama's going to have another 4 years in there. Unless something really, really happens. I mean, the economy has not come back. We're seeing businesses still leaving the country. We're seeing the fact that people are, more people are wanting to be added onto the rolls of the government when the taxpayers are supposedly be getting, you know, the middle-class taxpayers aren't supposed to be paying more taxes, yet it seems like it. And people I talk to seems like they're paying more money this year than they did before. There's less deductions. It seems like that, you know, even though that the amount of unemployment wasn't what it was, it's still up there. I don't see a lot of that stuff changing, and I think that's going to be a big thing. And then in the middle of it, we get into the into Libya and spend hundreds of millions of dollars over that. You know, it's going to be over $1 billion by the time we get out of there, if not more. We still have the things going on that he said weren't, and Guantanamo Bay is still going strong. And, in fact, they said that it's where they're going to have their military tribunals, which they said they weren't going to do. So they haven't shut that place down. You're seeing in the health care plan. I mean, we're going to have doctors on here in the next few days that are just, they're getting clobbered by this, the new health care plan. I think we mentioned it yesterday. They've been told, hey, look, you have to sign this piece of paper to go back to the government. You've got one day to do it. And it's like 15 pages of legalese that they want to sign, which essentially says you've got to open up your books to the government anytime we want to see them. And that is a problem for a lot of doctors. A lot of doctors aren't taking Social Security anymore because they're not getting paid. They're not knowing what's going to happen. So there are so many things going on that work against Obama. So that you just don't know. But unless you come up with a viable plan, which I really haven't seen on the other side yet, and a viable nominee, stand by for another 4 years. Anyway, we need to take a break before we get in our last segment. We've got a couple more things we want to talk about before in this last segment before we leave.
Hey, guys, we still have those tickets. Actually, we have two sets. We have two tickets for the Riverfront Playhouse, Bench in the Sun. These both of the sets of tickets are for April 15th. 7:30 p.m. is for the Riverfront Playhouse. Four tickets for the Red Bluff Roundup, which is also April 15th, the Friday night in the North Arena. Those are $12 tickets, so we have a set of four, grouping of four for those. Give us a call here, 605-4567. Get your free tickets. We'll be right back after these messages.
My ground. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
I'm so proud of Bob.
Yeah, Bob, you know what? Bob has been working three different sets of buttons and everything, plus fixing that one little spot in the back that he fixed that in the board so the music can come through. And then he's sitting here, and then I abuse him during the breaks anyway and say bad things about him, which is why I call him Bad Bob, among other things. Hey, look, this portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great place to go to. They have been in the business for decades. They take care of our community. They take care of our veterans. We are proud to have them as a sponsor for Free Fire Radio.
Well, we want to congratulate Kate. You got the Red Bluff Roundup tickets. I will call you after the show to see how many. And, of course, Gary, congratulations. You will get the tickets for the Riverfront Playhouse. I'll call you after the show, too, and we'll figure out how to pick up. But you know what? The lake is really full this year.
Well, you know, you've been talking about that not only is Whiskeytown, but Shasta Lake is going to be very full. And, you know,
I have a perfect boat for you to buy for me.
Okay.
Or for us.
Oh, okay. Well,
okay.
Where is it?
Well, it seems I found it online today.
Okay.
And, you know, you're going to probably have to go, you know, stand with thousands of other people to get the deal. But the Ministry of Defense has put an aircraft carrier up for sale, and it's on an official used equipment website.
An aircraft carrier from England, right?
Royal Navy aircraft carrier Ark Royal. It was taken out of service earlier this year as part of government budget cuts.
Oh.
It was decommissioned in Portsmouth earlier this month, and it's up for sale on www.edisposals.com.
So, an aircraft carrier, I wonder if that would fit. I guess you could put that in Shasta Lake.
It'd be a little hard to turn around.
Well,
you could maybe just go in circles.
Yeah.
Individuals and organizations interested in purchasing the former flagship of the Royal Navy, which was launched by the Queen in 1981, have to submit their proposals for the ship to the MOD for approval. That's Minister of Defense Equipment.
Right. Well, okay. Well, we might just pass on that. Bob, though, you're in the Coast Guard. Are you thinking about that? Maybe that's a little step up from what you have. That's a little step up from what you've got now. So it's.
I've actually seen the Ark Royal. She's a beautiful ship.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Okay. We want to kind of finish on an upward note here. But the Royal Navy and the whole Ministry of Defense for England is cutting back, you know, of the Tomahawks they launched. They've only launched a few because they only have a few. And they're cutting back on a lot of their defense cost. And this is just one of the things you're seeing. They're selling off their aircraft carriers. Now, what happens if Hugo Chavez wants to buy an aircraft carrier? What do you think? He's got the money, probably. So do we sell it to Hugo? Do we give him an aircraft carrier?
Ugh.
Ah, huh? Hey, Hugo, you want an aircraft carrier to float around out there in the Caribbean?
You have until June 13th to submit your bid. and it's going to be handed over to its new owners by the end of the year. The HMS Ark Royal has a proud history in the naval fleet and was due to leave service in 3 years' time. Bringing forward her decommissioning ensures they will have an enhanced carrier strike capability in the future. Ooh. I don't know. It kind of grosses me out. I feel bad when stuff like that happens.
Well, you know, it says here some of, in our chat room. It says the Air Force of England, United Kingdom, is half the size of the Israeli Air Force. Well, the United Kingdom is not surrounded by all of its enemies right there either, too, Gator. But you can understand that. But the whole thing is England is cutting way back.
I think that Donald Trump should buy it.
They are in deep trouble. He could have Donald Trump could have his own, could start his own aircraft carrier, put his own planes on it.
Yes,
you like that?
Get out
idea.
There and get the pirates.
There you go. Well, that's the other thing too. I understand that there's they've got cruises now off the coast of Somalia that you can buy and you can sign up for that. They guarantee that they will go back and forth, their lights on, playing music, and then hoping to attract Somali pirates to come try and take the cruise ship. And that you can also, for an additional sum, rent 50-caliber machine guns, so you can help defend the ship.
Well, the other thing is somebody made a very nice comment, was why not use it as a floating base for Japan, you know, with all these people that are displaced. It kind of actually makes sense if you could have a city that's, while they're rebuilding, to be able, that makes really great sense.
That could be, you know, we're pushing, we've got aircraft carriers over there, and we're putting out hundreds of thousands of gallons of fresh water trying to push through the reactor sites because they were pushing salt water through it first, seawater, and what that does, it starts to break down the components. Then it starts leaking, in which they're starting to see now, but if you flush it with the fresh water, and that will help make it last. And the components there, we can always help. Hey, you know, tomorrow we've got, you've got a musical guest coming in here, Joe Catania.
Joe Catania is going to be doing a couple shows this weekend, and we're going to wait to unveil what those are with a special interview with. He's a wonderful vocalist, jazz singer. He's got a brand new album out too, and I hope he brings along his CDs so we can play them while we're interviewing him.
You know, this also we're going to be talking about
gold and silver.
Gold and silver, and why should that be something you need to take a look at and investing in? During April, in the third week in April, and I'm just giving a heads up right now, we're going to have a series on surviving a catastrophe. You know, what happens if there's an emergency? Are you ready for that? And we've talked about it before, but we've put it together now. So we're going to have that. We're going to talk about what you need to do to survive, say, an earthquake. How do you last? You know, what do you do for the first 24 hours? What do you do for the next 72 hours? Are you ready? Do you even have a flashlight? Do you have a way of communicating with your family? Do you have a way to purify water? We've got all the water in the world here, but do we have a way of purifying it in case it has sediment in it? So that's going to be later on in next month. But great day tomorrow talking about currency and music. And we'll be talking banking later on this week. We've got a lot of things going on.
To inoculate or not to inoculate?
There you go. Colin DeBott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Thanks for tuning in today, and we will be here tomorrow. This is Colin DeBott, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thank you for listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.